And as you're settling in, the invitation also is to take a moment to silence any devices or alerts on your computer, anything like that, that may add uninvited soundscape to your meditation. Just to kind of take a moment to practice that mindfulness. And then starting by taking a couple of intentional, deeper, slower breaths. Allowing the exhale to be a little longer than the inhale. Releasing any excess tension on the exhale. And then allowing your breathing to return to normal. Letting each breath be just as it is. The natural cadence of your body breathing today. And noticing too the other dimensions of embodiment. Perhaps sounds occurring, soundscape in the broader room that you're in or outside of the room. Sensations through your whole body. The weight of your body on the chair or cushion or bed. Acknowledging, allowing all of it, all of your embodied experience to be here, be included. Welcoming whatever arises. I'm taking a moment to notice as well. Any intention you would like to set for this sit, this time of formal practice. Perhaps the intention to simply be present. To show up completely for this moment. Whatever that intention is, feeling into it in your body, in your heart. And then letting that go, letting it ripple through your inner life, through your body, heart, mind. Gathering the attention. On the felt experience of this body. Whether settled on the oceanic waves of breathing, a broader wash of sensations, or the flow of sensory experience, sound, taste, smell. Gently bringing attention in contact with this moment. Resting the heart in this here now. From time to time, noticing just how much energy it takes to reconnect with the experience of this moment. And then allowing mindful awareness to coast. For however long it can, in the flow of this moment now. As this meditation unfolds, the invitation is to open to any sense of aliveness, vitality in this body. Even in the midst of perhaps tiredness, or whatever else is unfolding, noticing and appreciating the aliveness of the body, breathing, sensation. Flowing through. In the last remaining moments of this meditation, the invitation is to recollect as the mind back over this period of formal practice, intentionally gathering up, soaking in, savoring any moments of mindful awareness, quietude, peace, kindness, patience, any good qualities at all, and appreciate them. Make the effort to appreciate them. And from that standpoint of appreciative awareness, opening up to all of what emerged, all the corners of your heart and mind and body. Relating to them with kindness, awareness. And then turning your internal gaze outwards to the other living beings in your life. Close by, far away, intimate, barely known. If it feels right, making the determination to share the goodness of this practice with them. May all beings benefit from our practice here together. Thank you for the sincerity of your practice. Before I start my talk, short talk, the invitation to send yourself and your fellow practitioners here a little pulse of appreciation and friendliness, whether on the Zoom room or here in the center. It's okay to make eye contact and smile if you want. You don't have to. And it's quite something. It's a real support to practice in community. It's different than being alone. Thank you for that. And an announcement before we start the short talk, which is that our wonderful communications volunteer, Chris, is here. She's in the back waving her hand right now, if you want to say hi. She's shooting pictures today to update our very outdated website. So just know that she's here. She's shooting some shots. And if any of you have an objection to ending up on the website or in a flyer in tiny form, probably, just let her know at the end and she'll make sure you're not there. Or you're blurred out or something. Today, I'd like to talk about A quality that's really fundamental to meditation practice. It's part of the Noble Eightfold Path. It's called virya or energy, sometimes translated as effort. And in part, I'm giving this talk because we're about 2 months into the new year, and sometimes people start to try to rejuvenate their practice in the beginning of the new year. And this is a good time to maybe think about where you're placing your energy, your effort, how you're using your life's vitality, vibrancy for yourself. So, this is a huge topic. It literally could encompass the entire Buddhist path, could look at the entire path of practice through the lens of energy and effort. So, I'm just going to offer a few brief reflections right now. One is that in formal practice, many of us in the contemporary world often have a default. It's either towards striving or over-efforting, or towards perhaps, if you've been at this for a while, complacency. Just kind of chilling out. Can happen. Over time, it's possible to develop wisdom in knowing when a feather light touch. Light persistence is more helpful, or sometimes a strong pulse of effort, heroic effort, is called for. The Buddha taught this like it's tuning a lute, a guitar-like stringed instrument. If the strings are too loose, you can't play music. If they're too tight, you also can't play music, and the string might break. Not so helpful in either direction. So, just noticing for yourself when it's helpful to tap into strong effort or very relaxed, backing off, just a light, persistent touch. There's usefulness in strong effort when unhelpful impulses arise. If I am craving my third cupcake of the week, it might be a good time to practice heroic effort and not reach for the treat. If, on the other hand, I've read too many books that encourage striving or pushing through, we Westerners particularly are often good at this one, might be time to back off, be gentle, invite a more natural kind of vibrancy to arise. Rather than plugging in, as a metaphor, allowing the natural sunlight, the natural vibrancy of the body, the mind, to emerge. So it can be helpful to inquire now and then, how much am I over-pushing myself or over-focusing? Or on the other hand, might it be nice to apply just a touch more intentionality, just a touch more? Without being forceful. One of my teachers, Sayadaw Utejaniya, a teacher in Burma, says when we put in an effort to be mindful, most of the time we don't know how to avoid being forceful. If we want to have a more balanced effort, it can be helpful to use wisdom to remind ourselves to be aware, remind the mind to be mindful. Then, rather than forcefulness or efforting becoming the source, it becomes more self-sustaining to using wisdom, discernment. Then there's a secondary range of meanings associated with energy or effort. This is sammavayama, wise effort. And these secondary meanings are associated with the Pali language of virya or sammavayama. I just kind of like saying that because it rhymes. So virya can also be associated with the practice of restraint or to take up, to uphold, to support, to befriend. Just feel into those. How different are those than effort? Right. And then samma, right, or wise can also mean completely, thoroughly, properly, rightly. One of my colleagues and teachers, Pam Weiss, talks about the righting of a boat. Rather than right or wrong, it's bringing things into balance. So to take up thoroughly, support completely, uphold properly, or practice restraint rightly. To befriend completely. All of these are dimensions you can bring, attitudes of mind you can bring to your practice, to the way you show up in your life, that engage that vitality, that life energy, without necessarily having to push. In my own practice, my own heart and mind, this idea of befriending, supporting, upholding is a really helpful kind of frame to bring to practice. There's a different feeling than the push, push, push we're often called on to do in our culture. Even the never-ending self-development project that sometimes hooks into meditation. You don't have to do it. Allow, engage, use the wisdom, use your Dharma intelligence. So whether the mind, your heart is in a good place or a bad place, recognizing, befriending what's happening, even if it's a difficult state, can be more helpful than pushing through with aversion or a sense of have to, gotta. And in that spirit, I'm going to briefly share a teaching known as the Four Wise Efforts, or Four Great Efforts, they're sometimes called, this Samavayama. There's a mnemonic, pace, as in pace yourself. P, it stands for prevent an unskillful frame of mind from arising or taking root. Or if it's already there, you're already being wrung out by it, to metabolize it, process it with awareness. The A, the second step, is to abandon an unskillful mind or heart state that's already arisen. Now, this is easier said than done. And it's possible to abandon believing it, giving it a lot of authority, not to get behind it anymore. One way of doing this, for example, many of you know, I was a hospital chaplain for some years, especially at Stanford Hospital, level one trauma center, a very intense place sometimes. It could be helpful in a long shift of walking from one room full of difficulty to another, to instead of focusing on the difficulty, turn the attention to the compassion, the care, the motivation for being there. And that in itself was sustaining. So it wasn't like I was getting rid of the difficulty, but it's a matter of shifting the attention. Oh, compassion's here. Compassion's here too. And that can help the mind abandon, the heart abandon getting stuck, and instead have a different way of relating in the moment. Third step, cultivate the arising of wholesome states. So I kind of just talked about this. It can be as simple as turning the attention to whatever goodness might be there. Compassion, mindfulness, patience, or to intentionally call up something. The intention of your practice, even. Again, when leaving the hospital, sometimes this was earlier in my time as a chaplain, I was at San Francisco General and would see just some awful things. And I would notice I would be afraid when leaving. There would be this undercurrent of fear, oh, this might happen to me, or that might happen to me. So to give the example here, process that fear, metabolize it, And then abandon the fear, not in the sense of abandoning a child, but abandoning the caught upness in it to notice, wow, I'm grateful. I have both eyes, both ears, a working mind, all of my limbs, my heart's beating. And as far as I know, I don't have cancer. It's shifting. So to cultivate the arising of a wholesome state, in this case, gratitude for what goodness or health is present. And then finally, E in PACE, PACE, is to extend skillful mind states that are already present. What's already there? And the easiest way of extending is to savor, appreciate, not to cling or grasp or make continue, but just appreciate the tiniest micro moment of a helpful state of mind or heart that's present. Notice what nourishes you that might be different than what I'm describing, what nourishes me. And that's great. That's there's many, many different ways of nourishing yourself. But appreciate whatever that is, and then wisdom come in. You can start to notice what are the conditions that support this? What can I do that might support a healthy, wholesome, skillful frame of mind in the future? So, in some ways, as I said earlier, effort, energy can be a lens for the entire path of Buddhist practice. And these four great efforts are kind of distilled instructions for how to approach this in the moment, some moments. So, pace, keep an easy, steady pace as you navigate the rest of your day today. And you don't have to remember all of this. This is recorded, and I'll also probably talk about it in the next newsletter. So you can also let it go if you feel too much effort in your mind or your memory right now. So thank you, everyone, for your kind attention. And I have a couple of announcements for later in this week and next week. The first is that there are two events this coming weekend, both on Zoom. One is with, they're both with friends and colleagues of mine. One is a half day on awareness and comedic improv games that I'm teaching with Phoenix Soleil. And it requires registration. So if you're interested, it is free. Donna offered. But please feel free to register and join us. I think it's from 9:30 to 1 on Saturday. And then on Sunday, after the normal Sunday talk, my friend and colleague, Kyra Jewel Lingo, will be joining to offer a full Dharma talk at 10:30 in the morning. She'll be Zoom casting in here on this screen. You can join either via Zoom from home, or if you happen to be in the center already, please feel still free to stick around and watch it in community. Either way works. So those are two coming up. And then I won't be here next week. There'll be a sub here instead. I got a little mix up with times of assisting a retreat, so I'm leaving earlier than expected. But I will see you back here in a couple of weeks. So, are there any other announcements from the Sangha right now? Anything else? From Eve, yes, the Sunday Dharma talk will be recorded and available later. Anything else? May the benefits of our practice here together ripple out through our hearts and our lives, and through all the lives we touch, all of the lives they touch, outwards and outwards. May all beings everywhere be free from suffering. May all beings everywhere know the highest joy of freedom.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.